The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. The Jews murmured about Jesus because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." And they said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph? Do we not know his father and mother? Then how can he say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Stop murmuring among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him, and I will raise him on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They shall all be taught by God.' Everyone who listens to my Father and learns from him comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the desert, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
On all Sundays and major feasts, Holy Mother Church gives us a selection of readings, normally in threes, from the Old Testament, the New Testament, and a reading from the Gospels, respectively. She gives us these series of readings for a reason. And this reason is that the scriptures that she gives us build upon themselves and also allow us, through reading and meditating on each individual one, to gain better understanding of the others in the grouping. The church particularly works this so that the first and the second reading help with our understanding of the gospel. And so today I'd like to go back through our first two readings and take a look at the things that they point to in the gospel today. But first, a point of note from the gospel. Today's gospel is a very interesting gospel in many respects, but primarily speaking because this is the gospel in which our Lord makes the startling claim that I am the bread of life, that this bread that is to come down from heaven to be given to each one of us is his flesh, his true flesh, and not just a symbol. And this is obviously very startling for the Jews. But for those who had eyes to see and understood the scriptures well, this is not as shocking as we might have thought it would have been, and was not as shocking as those who did not understand the scriptures well. So looking back through the scriptures we're given today, from our first reading from the book of Kings, we hear of Elijah's journey into the desert. This is important for multiple reasons. First of all, deserts in the Old Testament and the scriptures in general symbolize a couple things, but primarily they symbolize a place of quiet, a place of detachment from the world, and in many cases, a place of purification. We can think of other examples of people going into desert, for example, the Israelites in their wandering, or Jesus before the beginning of his public ministry. Now, Elijah goes into the desert for a very particular reason. Elijah goes into the desert because he needs to be close to God, because of this despair he's feeling. I think we can all relate, more or less, to some degree, with the despair that Elijah feels. We hear him say, "This is enough, Lord. Take my life, for I am no better than my father's." He's, in many ways, hit rock bottom. And what does he do? He goes and he asks God for help. And this is what we should do in our lives. When the going gets tough, when this life becomes difficult, and it will, without doubt, we must fling ourselves on God because he gives us the food we need, the gifts we need to be able to move forward. And this is what he does with Elijah. Elijah, in despair, lays down under this broom tree and falls asleep. And what does God do? He sends an angel to Elijah. And the angel wakes Elijah and shows him the bread which God has given him to eat. Elijah eats this bread and makes his 40-day journey through the desert to the mountain of God. This is also important. 40 days in the scriptures have a very particular meaning as well. They symbolize purification, completion. And so we look at other instances of 40 days. Noah in the ark, our Lord in the desert. These are times of completion, of purification, and it is the same for Elijah. And so, in many ways, this first reading is the Christian life in short. We see that he begins with the despair. God gives him the food. He makes this journey towards God and ends at the mountain of God. And so our first reading points us to the reality of what the Christian life should be, what this journey should be. Now in our second reading, we get a selection from St. Paul. And St. Paul is wonderful because St. Paul is very direct and to the point. Rarely does St. Paul spend much time deliberating over high-level theological ideas, which are good, but St. Paul is very direct. He's very clear. He wants people to know how to live well, so they can live in relationship with God. And this is the second element which helps prepare us for the gospel. First, we hear, what does the Christian life look like? And second, St. Paul shows us, what does this look like in detail? What do you actually have to do to dispose yourself well to receive God? And so he goes on, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were sealed on the day of redemption." And he gives this list of things you must put aside so as not to grieve the Spirit of God, right? Put aside all bitterness, fury, anger, shouting, reviling. Be kind to one another. Be compassionate. He gives us directives, particularly how to dispose yourselves well so as to receive the graces of God. We believe as Catholic Christians that what we receive at Mass under the form of bread and wine is actually and really the presence of Christ, his physical flesh, his physical blood. And so as Catholics, we believe that we must dispose ourselves well to receive this sacrament. And we believe this for a multiplicity of reasons. First and foremost, we do not want to commit the sin of sacrilege. We do not want to provide for our Lord an unfit dwelling place, right? We want to purify ourselves as best we can through the sacramental means the Church has provided for us and live lives that are in accordance with God's teaching so that we do not give him an improper home. But secondarily, we do all of these things so we can receive the good things that he wants to give us through the reception of this Eucharist well. Through receiving the Eucharist, we are given certain graces and gifts. And even if we don't receive the Eucharist in the state of mortal sin, if we receive the Eucharist in a state in which we are not living in perfect accordance with God's will, we do not get the full benefits of this communion with God. And so St. Paul points to this in his letter. He says, you want to live in union with God. You want to live this Christian life. Here's what you do. Start acting like it, essentially. So, we now have seen what the Christian life looks like. We've seen a small example of what conforming your life to Christ in detail looks like. And now we turn to the gospel. We hear at the very beginning of the gospel that the Jews murmured against Jesus because of what he said. And this is a beautiful example of a situation our Lord very often finds himself in the gospel. Our Lord loves to take examples and instances where people attack him and turn this attack into a moment of teaching, into a moment of spreading the good news, the gospel himself, to these people. And so we take this example here, for instance. The Jews attack him. They say, who is this man? We recognize that you're a great teacher, maybe even a great prophet, but we know your mother and your father. We know your relatives. We know where you're from. We know what occupation they have. How can you claim that you are something greater than man? And instead of lowering himself to the level of this accusation, knowing that in many ways they're not seeking understanding but trying to entrap him, our Lord takes this accusation and instead uses it as a time to teach, as a time to explain the reality of the mystery he's coming to bring to them. And so he goes on, "Stop murmuring among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him, and I will raise him on the last day. He then goes on to make this incredible claim. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the desert, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat it and not die. And he goes on to say, The bread I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. This is an incredible reality, and one many of us have heard before. The fact that the Eucharist is really and truly Christ himself in the form, under the experience of bread and wine, but really his flesh and his blood, is not a new concept to us, but it bears repeating because it is so incredibly important. Many religions, many faiths, offer some form of salvation, some form of a good life. But only Christianity, only Catholicism can offer you Christ himself, physically. That is an incredible gift, and something which should not be taken lightly. Because as we see here, it causes much scandal amongst the Jews. And to us, to a degree, it should cause some scandal as well. Because who are we that our Lord should come to us under the form of bread and wine, humble himself, to be present on a physical altar in a physical place at the command of one of his creatures? And so we recognize the beauty of this, and we recognize that this should call us to live lives worthy of this mystery. Call us to examine our consciences and to amend those ways in which we do not live up to the grace and to the goodness that God has called us to live in. Constantly forming our lives so that this gift that he has given us is not given in vain. So today, as we celebrate this 19th Sunday, let us thank God for the many wonderful gifts he has given us, especially the Eucharist, and seek always to conform ourselves to the life that he has asked us to live. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.